From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus says, take freely. He wants no payment or preparation. He seeks no recommendation from our virtuous emotions. If you have no good feelings, if you be but willing, you are invited. Therefore come. You have no belief and no repentance. Come to Him, and He will give them to you. Come just as you are, and take freely, without money and without price. He gives Himself to needy ones. The drinking fountains at the corners of our streets are valuable institutions, and we can hardly imagine anyone so foolish as to feel for his purse when he stands before one of them, and to cry, I cannot drink because I have not 5 pounds in my pocket. However poor the man is, there is the fountain, and just as he is, he may drink of it. Thirsty passengers, as they go by, whether they are dressed in fustian or in broadcloth, do not look for any warrant for drinking. Its being there is their warrant for taking its water freely. The liberality of some good friends has put the refreshing crystal there, and we take it and ask no questions. Perhaps the only persons who need go thirsty through the street where there is a drinking fountain are the fine ladies and gentlemen who are in their carriages. They are very thirsty, but cannot think of being so vulgar as to get out to drink. It would be mean, them, they think, to drink at a common drinking fountain. And so they ride by with parched lips. Oh, how many there are who are rich in their own good works, and cannot therefore come to Christ. I will not be saved, they say, in the same way as the harlot or the swearer. What, go to heaven in the same way as the chimney sweep? Is there no pathway to glory but the path which led the thief there? I will not be saved that way. Such proud boasters must remain without the living water. But whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely.
Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, my heart has been cleansed by thy grace. I rejoice that the God of creation would die on the cross in my place. Oh, how good a sinner unworthy of a find a place in thy heart.
redemption through Jesus my Lord.
Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I know by thy grace I'm made whole. In my heart there is glad adoration, and wonderful peace floods my soul.
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. As he continues his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns has been expounding chapter 9. Today, he brings the next portion of a message called "The Purpose of Grace and a Passion for Souls." The text for the message is verses 1 through 5 of the chapter, in which Paul reveals his heart for his fellow Jews. Yet, as Dr. Cairns demonstrates, Paul's view of salvation as found in the Old Testament applies to both Jews and Gentiles. All are saved in the same way. An important part of Paul's emphasis in the text is a faithful explanation of God's sovereignty in salvation. Because Christ's work on the cross was successful, the gospel is destined to succeed. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Purpose of Grace and a Passion for Souls.
I told you Paul was saying some things here that people don't like. I suggest it's time we get to like what God likes. What I'm saying to you tonight is this, that God's grace is sovereign in its ordination, or its foreordination. Chapter 10 goes right into another subject, another aspect of grace, and that is that God's grace is sincere in its offer. Now, I said some time ago that Paul was not a bit worried about trying to reconcile God's purpose on the one hand and God's proclamation of the gospel and its offer on the other hand. In Romans chapter 10, he sets out the truth, verses 6 to 8, that faith in Christ is the sole means of acceptance and justification. Then in verses 11 through 13, he shows that Jews and Gentiles are equally guilty, and the gospel is equally suited to both. Therefore, that's the basis of the great proclamation in verse 9, where he freely presents the gospel to all men and sincerely offers it to them. And this is what he says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now follow me carefully here. In Romans 9, you had the sovereign will of God, sovereign in its ordination. Now watch the end of Romans 10. To Israel, he saith, all the day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What a picture that is. God's grace is not only sovereign in its ordination, but it is sincere in its offer. Here he is dealing with a people who were utterly stubborn in their sin. God did not say, and I want you to understand this, God did not say, oh, you're not the predestinated, therefore there is no gospel to be preached to you. No, no. He stood pleading. He stood proclaiming. He was stretching out his hands. That's a plea. But it's more than that. That's a welcome. And I will say tonight, and I am glad this church, Calvinistic to the core, believes in the free offer of the gospel. I will say tonight that if the God who did the predestining stands with his hands outstretched indiscriminately to this disobedient people, then as long as God gives me breath, by his grace, I will preach Christ to all men and tell them what Paul told them here. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Oh, God never tells you discover if you're elect. What he'll tell you is discover that you're a sinner. Discover that Christ is the Savior of sinners. Discover that there's an infinite fullness in the merit of the blood of the blessed Lamb of God. And discover this, that Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's a sincerity in that offer. The very God who ordains stands with his hands outstretched to a disobedient people. And let me tell you tonight, if you go out of this meeting, a Christ-rejecting, unregenerate, unjustified sinner, You have none to blame but yourself. I don't see anybody twist your arm about your back to say, you must reject Christ. Oh, that's your will. That's your depravity. That's your sin. The gospel is sincere in its offer to sinners. God's hand is outstretched. In chapter 11, the truth is that God's grace is successful in its operation. There's a wonderful vision in chapter 11 that the day is coming when both Jews and Gentiles will eagerly embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And just as today only a few in the world are saved, few there be that find this straight and narrow way. There is yet another day coming. And I'm not going to get into eschatology, but I will preach this always from a good pre-millennial point of view. But at the end of the day, whether you're pre or post, I have a real trouble with you if you're amillennial and you think you're in the millennium now. God help your wit. That's all I can say to you. If this is the millennium, I don't know. But we're not going to get into that. There's a day coming when the millions of this world will embrace the Lord, our Christ. My, what a glorious future there is for the gospel. And you will see that in Romans chapter 11. The Jews are going to be restored. And this is how Paul argues. The cutting off of the Jews brought great blessing to the Gentiles. And if that's true, what will the restoration of the Jews be? It will be like life from the dead. That to me is one of the most thrilling scriptures in the Bible, because it tells me, you take all the great things that have happened through church history, the day of Pentecost, those days that followed when 5,000 more people were saved, the Protestant Reformation, when Europe was turned upside down by the power of the gospel, the days of the great revivals. Paul says, in comparison to what God is going to do, that's like the church in death. We are looking for a great resurrection. The gospel is not destined to fail. The gospel is destined to succeed. And therefore the conclusion at the end of chapter 11 is this wonderful outpouring of the apostle's heart. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What a wonderful conclusion it is. But you know, as we conclude tonight, I want you to emphasize this. That when Paul gets to this doctrine of the sovereign purpose of the grace of God, he prefaces it with the verses we read together. Now, I'm not going to go down those verses in detail, but he prefaces it with this blazing statement of his passion for souls. And what I want to get over to every Christian here tonight is this. That there are two things that should always go together. The purpose of sovereign grace and our passion for lost souls. There's a big lesson here for us all. Listen to what Paul says at the very beginning. This is how he's getting into the doctrine of predestination. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for the sake of my brethren. What is he saying? He's saying that a true view of the sovereignty of God will never lessen your love for souls. And I will put it to you bluntly. If you say, oh, I believe in election, I believe in predestination, I believe in this, I believe in that, and it's all philosophical, it's all in your head, and you can sit back and let the world go to hell, and it means little or nothing to you, you do not begin to believe in the sovereignty of God. You've perverted into an idol and into a veritable blasphemy, one of the most precious revelations that God has given us in Scripture. Because the more we see the sovereignty of grace, the more it will engender within us and inflame within our hearts a genuine passion for souls. You see, the doctrine of grace does not kill evangelism. It rather promotes evangelism. Have a look at your church history. Even here in the United States, the great movements of soul-winning power, historically, were movements under men who preached this apparently severe old message of sovereign grace. I've often mentioned some names in American church history of which most American Christians are totally ignorant, and I think it's a tragedy. If you ask your normal American evangelical, who was the great revival preacher of America? You're going to come up 9 times out of 10 with Charles G. Finney. Mr. Finney had many, many gifts, many, many abilities. But he was the blight upon revival. Not the moving force in great movements of the Holy Ghost. When I ask Christians, what have you ever read of Asahel Nettleton? Never heard of him. Never heard of him. Ah, how far we have drifted. God moves through men who believe these things. But I want to tell you, this is not the killer of evangelism, but the promoter of it. Paul had this wonderful passion. And one of the most amazing and passionate statements anywhere to be found in the Bible, it's so amazing, to be quite honest, that linguists and scholars, again, cannot allow Paul to say what he has said. They try to evacuate what he said, especially in verse 3, of its meaning. I want you to understand this. Here's Paul's passion, and it's marked by 3 things. And if you understand the grace of God, this is the passion that must mark you. This is the passion we must have in this church. A passion for souls. Real sinners. Not just the elect. I remember talking to a preacher who was praying publicly only for the elect. I said, that's not your business. I believe God will bring in His elect, but I'm here to pray for sinners. And I'm here to preach for sinners. And I'm here to go after sinners. And it's up to God to do His own work. Paul didn't know who the elect were. Among the Jews, or indeed among the Gentiles. So therefore he couldn't limit his love to the elect, could he? He had a burning zeal for the conversion of his brethren. Why? Because they were Jews. Of course he had a passion for others. But can I say, you'll never have a passion for people in China or Africa if you've no passion for your fellow Americans. If you've no love for sinners in your own doorstep, you'll never have a love for sinners across the world. Leaving your home country and going to the mission field never gives you a passion for souls. It's a vision of the grace of God that will give a passion for souls. And that passion will be marked by sincerity. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You see, when it comes to this matter, there's an awful lot of hocus-pocus talk. There's an awful lot of hypocritical rubbish talk. Christians have learned certain holy-sounding little phrases. Paul wants nothing to do with that. He says, I'm speaking now before God. The Holy Ghost is witnessing that this is true. When I talk about a passion for souls, this is not me taking poetic license. This is not me talking up a storm and then going out and forgetting about it. This is something that I'm absolutely sincere about. Then it's marked by gravity. Verse 2, I have great heaviness. Paul felt heaviness, pain, and burden. And well he might. The people of the Jews had magnificent advantages. To them, he says, belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and all the rest of it. They're descended from the fathers. And from their line, Christ was born, who is over all, God blessed forever. The Jews, isn't this the tragedy? This is what broke Paul's heart. The Jews, you could say, gave Christ to the world, for he was born a Jew. And they rejected him. And Paul says, I have great pain. I suffer. I have continual sorrow.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.